We're going to talk about a serious subject in sports, and we're going to be talking with the executive producer of a documentary that is going to be seen on Comcast Sportsnet. It's called Out, The Glenn Burke Story. It's going to be airing on Comcast Sportsnet, and it's the one-hour program that documents the legacy of Glenn Burke as the first openly homosexual Major League Baseball player. Now, Burke is a former outfielder for the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Oakland A's, and here is a trailer on the documentary Out, The Glenn Burke Story.
Glenn Burke playing center field tonight. His first World Series appearance. He takes the first pitch in the World Series from Don Gullett for ball one.
He was blackballed out of the game because of his sexual preference.
Everyone's career ends, but to do it because you don't feel like you belong there when you've proven that you do is damaging.
Here's a guy that was fighting not just the opposing pitcher that was trying to get him out. He was fighting the unknown.
Glenn was told by the Dodgers, or offered by the Dodgers to, you know, allegedly get this bonus if he had a wife. Glenn took exception to that, refused to do it, and openly dated Tommy Lasorda's son.
It was just the tension in the clubhouse. You could cut it with a knife.
Burke said, I cannot take it anymore, but I have to be lying. I said, I'm a homosexual. And then I said to myself, I used to shower with this guy almost every day.
Because you look over in his locker, you know, and he had his red jock in his locker. You know, nobody wore a red jock. You know, and Glenn wore a red jock, and, you know, he'd be dancing around in the clubhouse.
He was on his crack. And he was a wild and woolly character.
He said, well, my wife, she works for the health department. And she said that some guys had contacted this gay disease. They used to call it a gay disease. And they said that he was one of the ones that had contact with them. And I was like, ugh.
And then I remember one day I was at the stadium at Candlestick, and this guy came down, weighed about 100 and a half. And I was, he was looking great. I said, he said, Johnny B, I recognize the voice, but I didn't recognize the person.
And Glenn started to cry. He said, I've been told you're going to help me. Somebody wants to help me. I can't believe somebody wants to help me.
Again, the name of the documentary from Comcast Sportsnet is Out, The Glenn Burke Story, and the executive producer is Ted Griggs. I've known Ted for a long time and have respected his work, but this is one, as I watched it today, saw the rough cut of it, it kind of blew me away. And I guess maybe because I'm sitting here in San Francisco and I knew Glenn Burke, but why don't we start with kind of a lesson as to who Glenn Burke was?
Well, I first got to know about Glenn Burke when I was about 12 years old. I was playing basketball on a basketball court in Weeks Park in Hayward, and these guys that we were shooting around with were talking about Glenn Burke, and I knew about him as a basketball player. He was probably the best prep basketball player I've ever seen. He was Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan was Michael Jordan, and I think the only reason he played baseball, and people forget now, but in the early 70s, baseball was the American sport, and every young man wanted to play baseball. Otherwise, he would have played basketball. In fact, there's a part in the documentary where Claudel Washington says that the Phoenix Suns offered him a contract to play point guard, and he had only played 4 college games. He played for UNR, he actually scored, I think, about 20 points against UCLA's a team that was coached by John Wooden. He was a great basketball player.
What was it that attracted him to baseball then?
Oh, well, I think at that time, you know, as I said, most young men that I knew, baseball was the sport in America, even more than football in the early 70s. And of course, then football grew with Pete Rozelle and television and everything. And also at that time, you get a lot more money playing baseball. You know, you could get money right away when you're 19, 20 years old. And, of course, Glenn was not well off, grew up on the streets of Berkeley and Oakland. He certainly wasn't destitute, but you got a paycheck right away. And, you know, to play for the Los Angeles Dodgers, that was one of the brands in terms of American sports at the time.
Another major storyline in this documentary, Ted, is his personality, and I saw how that played into this whole story, both in a personal way as well as a professional way.
Well, you've met a million athletes. I mean, there are not that Glenn was loved by his teammates. He was not loved by the opposition. They thought he was kind of a jerk. In fact, I've talked to some, Mike Kruko pitched against him in the minor leagues. It didn't like him. But I think he was very popular with his teammates. There's a part in the documentary when he was traded. They said that some of the Dodger players were actually crying that they had traded their teammate away. And the other thing is, as I'm doing more research on homosexuals who are part of male team sports, there's a tremendous amount of pressure on them. And two athletes that I've recently read about thought about committing suicide. So Glenn certainly had a dark side of his personality. We don't know what led to that, whether that was just a natural part of his personality. I mean, there certainly are athletes out there now. Barry Bonds wasn't the most congenial guy in the world. But we don't know whether the pressure of being a homosexual in a male, macho sport had anything to do with that. And of course, it's sad that we can't talk to Glenn about that now.
It was suggested he might be bipolar, and I think that there is probably something to that. How willing were the people that you talked to, especially the ball players that grew up and played with him, both on the Dodgers and in the minor leagues, and also in his community in Oakland, how willing were they to talk about
him? They couldn't wait to speak about it. And you've seen the documentary. To me, especially in the eyes of Reggie Smith and Davey Lopes, there was almost a pleading in their eyes for understanding of what it was like back then. Because I think they really loved Glenn, and I think that they feel bad about what happened to him, that he basically got ran out of baseball. And, I could be imagining it, but when I looked in Reggie Smith's eyes when he was talking about what it was like, what it would have been like if Glenn had come out publicly in baseball at that time, at least to me, he looked like he was pleading for understanding what it was like 33 years ago.
When do you think he came in conflict with his sexual identity? At what point?
Well, he talks about it. He basically said in one of the interviews that he had no interest in sex growing up, and that he met he first had come back to the Bay Area and had an experience with a former teacher. And then he fell in love with a man when he was playing in on the East Coast. And I think that for Glenn was the beginning of learning about himself and then eventually even embracing his own sexuality. Because that was the interesting thing to me. Whenever I would talk to people, they say, I said, we're doing a documentary on the first openly gay baseball player. And they said, oh, you mean Billy Beane? And of course, it's the other Billy Beane, not the general manager of the A's. And I'd say, no, this is Glenn Burke, who was well before Billy Beane. And unlike Billy Beane and some other athletes, John Amici, who was a basketball player, Esra Turasasopo, or I don't know exactly how to say his name, was a football player. They all came out after they retired. Glenn did not issue a public a press release or anything, but his teammates all knew he was gay. The opposition knew he was gay. He didn't hide it. He didn't obviously take out a billboard or anything, but he was not hiding who he was. And I don't think that was, as you watch the documentary, that definitely was not part of his personality. He couldn't be anything but authentic and genuine. And sometimes that was not the most pleasant thing to be around him when he was genuinely dark.
Two people that jumped out in the documentary to me, Davey Lopes and also Dusty Baker, both of them having played with him down on the Dodger team, and especially in 77 and 78 down there. And I had to laugh at Dusty Baker when he tried to fix him up with a couple of his wife's cousins or something, and it was really funny. Can you tell the story?
Yeah, Dusty, you know how Dusty talks, and he'd say, I'd fix him up with this girl, and he's, oh, no, she's too fat, or she's too this or that. And Dusty would say, no, you're not going to tell me on this one. She's fine. I know she's fine. There's nothing wrong with this one. But it was interesting. Glenn was taken under the wing of both Dusty and Reggie Smith, who, if you remember Reggie Smith back then, Reggie Smith was the badass of badasses.
Yep.
And the Dodgers came to him and said, hey, we want you to room with this young man. We think he's got the right tools, and we want you to look after him. And Reggie said, sure, I'll do it. And it's interesting, the baseball culture, when they spotted somebody that had talent, they were all in terms of helping them to become a professional. And both Reggie, Dusty, and Davey Lopes, they all loved Glenn Burke and were all very upset when he was traded, even after they knew he was gay.
We're talking with Ted Griggs. He is the executive producer of a fine, fine documentary from Comcast Sportsnet. It's called Out the Glenn Burke Story. And one of those that's quoted in the story is Billy Beane, not the general manager of the A's, but Billy Beane, who played 6 years in the major leagues. A good portion of that time was played with the Dodgers. And he talks very candidly about how tough it was. I talked to him when he came out with a book about his time with the Dodgers and how difficult it was for him when he was down there. We'll talk about that aspect as we continue with more of You and Sports Byline.